Hey, football head. Welcome back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Draft crew's back.
That's right. The Spring Boys. I'm Alex McCauley.
I'm Max Fosbury.
And I'm Morgan Chun.
And we are here, and we are commissionerless, which does, you're right, the draft boys are back. This kind of, this feels fun. Sorry, Tim, but this is fun.
We don't need the commish. We got the secretary, the minister, and the vice secretary, or vice commissioner.
That's right. That's right. I've stepped into not only lead host duties on this pod, but I will be running the league here for a week while our esteemed commissioner is out on a break. I was kind of thinking about this before we jumped on the mics here. And even though, you know, the crux of this podcast is kind of designed and always has been for our league, but we do want to try to appeal to a wider audience this year. It is fun, though, when we can bring on other guys in the league, though, to host with us, right, Max?
Because, absolutely.
I mean, I think of this as it's kind of like an ensemble podcast, even though it typically is just you, myself, and Tim.
Boo.
But we've brought on Blaine before. Morgan obviously did the whole offseason with us, was awesome during that. Morgan, you and I have kind of talked about this before, I know. When you're watching a television show and you have a bunch of characters, like it's an ensemble program. Oh, yeah. But there's some guys where you're just like, I really wish that there would be more scenes between this character and that character. I know you and your wife are going back and watching the OC right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
I always felt like this during the OC where like the couple of scenes that like Ryan and Luke get to share once they're boys.
Luke is the man in that show. I'm almost done with season one right now. I forgot. Luke's the man.
Such, yeah. I'll listen to Seeger, just like kind of raging drunk.
Miss Cooper.
But yeah, it's really fun. We look forward to having more guys from the league come on, talk about their teams, talk about different fantasy players. So we're going to do a quick little recap here of week three. Interesting stuff happened not only in our league, but across the NFL. A little bit of news, too, that we'll get to. But first, we'll just kind of run through these power rankings real quick. Tim's updated power rankings here for the Homies League. Max, you hold down your spot at number one.
3-0.
3-0, yeah. Here we are, still unbeaten.
And this has kind of become a trend for you. And I'm going to get to this here. I think there's kind of some interesting stuff going on. But you got to feel just kind of this is comfortable for you, status quo.
Yeah, we're a third of the way through the season, regular season.
Yeah. I mean,
a quarter.
Fourth.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten kind of lucky on a couple of these wins, you know, a couple last second guys that came through. You know, I was down going into that Sunday night game.
Yeah. And then you played against McCaffrey this week, who, of course, we'll get to him a little bit later. But yeah, so you're atop at 3-0, the only team in our league at 3-0. Second place, we have Bobby. He 2-1 with the most points for in the entire league. So once again, him very comfortable in his scoring role, always putting up points.
Morgan and I were talking about Bobby off air before we started. He's just a wild cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the guy just picks up players, plugs them in, drops them the next day. He just is all feel.
Yep.
It's amazing.
We have our defending champ, Matt, at 3. Of course, he had the number one overall pick and took Christian McCaffrey. So his fortitude as a manager will start to get tested here a little bit as he battles through that injury. He did not get Chuba Hubbard in waivers and free agency this week. So that's kind of a big blow to his team. Lewis at number 4. Once again, I feel like Lewis is pretty comfortable in that kind of upper to middle pack of the league, always there, right? But then here's where it gets interesting. You have Nick Anderson, our two-time, I won't say defending, but our two-time back-to-back skunk, is at 5th in the power rankings with a record of 2-1. He's the first player who I kind of have highlighted here. I'm sure this kind of goes for every league out there, but when you're in that position of unfamiliarity, like Max and some of these other teams that we've talked about already, when you're used to being at the top, you can do things. Like Max, you were the one that went out and got Chuba Hubbard. You're 3-0. You spend $50 of your fab budget. Don't have much to lose, right? Nick, now all of a sudden, we'll see how he handles this early season success. Right after him, Morgan, same boat. Tim has you at 6th in the power rankings, and you're 2-1.
I have a huge fucking problem. I am 3.5 goddamn points away from being 3-0. Lou beat me by 3.5.
Yeah,
because there it is. Justin Tucker kicks the field goal to win the game week 1. Tim texts me, Congrats, Chun.
Put the commissioner hoax. The
jinxed me.
Yeah. But no, I mean, this is a sort of, we still are early, so only being a game over 500 really isn't unfamiliar, but you have a, you know, 6% win percentage. Yeah, as you should.
Have you guys seen the playoffs percentage?
No, yeah. I've kind of stopped looking at that. I don't really know how accurate IBM Watson is on that stuff. But what does it say right now?
I think I'm at like 70% max is like 86% sure. playoff percentage.
Sure. Tim puts himself at number 7, just past the middle of the pack. It is interesting. Tim has the least points scored against him in the league at a measly 284. So he's gotten very lucky in his matchups so far. But when you're 2-1, you're 2-1. Jordan, now this is, once again, we kind of have a run here of guys who are used to being in that upper tier who now find themselves in an unfamiliar position of being in the lower half of the league. Jordan at 0-3, the only winless team in our league, although he does have the most points scored against him at 458.
That's a lot of points.
This guy's just gotten, I mean, he's gotten everybody's best shot. He's ran into a buzzsaw each and every week to start the season. So some bad luck there. You hope it turns around for him. Blaine Glasgow coming in at number 9 in the power rankings with a record of 1-2. Very unfamiliar spot for him to find himself in. I'm sure he's going to be tested. Camille, another perennial playoff caliber team at 1-2. Unfamiliar territory for him. Then rounding out the power rankings, you have Colin and myself. Very familiar territory in recent seasons. And so but we're always the people that you have to watch out for in your league. Morgan, you and I have a big matchup coming this week. You're the only team that I beat last year.
Yeah, I know.
And so you know that, like,
fucking no.
He circled it.
Yeah, that's a stain on the record right there to lose to me last season. But yeah, these are the teams where when you are at the bottom and you're playing scrappy, like I was very active on the waivers this morning after they'd cleared and I could just pick players up free without spending any fab. Just going to try to kind of emulate Bobby and some of these other teams and just play totally based off of feel. So that's kind of the fun situation that you can find yourself in if you are 1-2. It's a long season. We get the extended game this year. So 17-week season, a lot can happen. If you're 0-3, 1-2, don't get down on yourself. A lot can happen. Mm-hmm. In our league, aside from Kefler at 0-3 and Max yourself at 3-0, rest of the league is either 2-1 or 1-2.
A lot of parity, which is what you love.
Yes.
A lot of competitive players in this league. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everyone is trying every week, and I mean, you love to see that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great because everyone's competitive. Every Sunday, somebody is making moves. Except Red.
Yes.
Calling you out, Red. Disappointed.
TJ Watt, what are you doing?
Broke our heart.
Before we get kind of to our ballers, our busts, and our bold predictions going forward here, we do have a little bit of news, I think, that we should talk about. A big signing in the NFL today, Morgan. I think this kind of goes back to some of the stuff that we wanted to talk about in the offseason, although there wasn't really too much movement. But Richard Sherman signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll see what he's got left in the tank, but that was already a pretty viable fantasy defense.
Yeah.
Makes their pass defense, which was their weakest part, a lot more respectable.
Yeah, their corners were bottom of the barrel in the league. Carlton Davis is decent. Jamel Dean, all of them are decent guys, but they're never going to be that number one corner, shutdown corner. Richard Sherman, I think he still has miles left on those tires. He's played well the last 2 years, all pro 2 years ago. The only reason he was out of San Francisco is because they couldn't afford him.
Correct.
Now he goes to a Tampa Bay team, championship contender, probably go to the Super Bowl.
He's ring chasing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And he's made that known, though, to his credit.
Yeah.
Says, I'm only going to go to a team with playoff aspirations, Super Bowl aspirations. And then specific to our league, we had our first trade. And this is a great time to have you in the studio. You have one other thing, Max?
Josh Gordon signed with the Chiefs.
Yes.
I mean, you know, a guy that... We know he can be a monster, and you hope that he stays in the league finally.
How long till he gets suspended? You know, 4 games?
I don't know. I really hope that he does stick around for the whole year. He could be a great addition. I don't know if anyone's picked him up.
No, but I think his impact is more it's more fixed on other players.
Decoy.
In that Chiefs offense. Like, I myself, while making those moves this morning, dropped Mecole Hardman. Mm-hmm. Just because I figured Josh Gordon's going to come in and potentially take those one or two deep shots away from Mecole. Mecole, some might get one or two, but only getting one or two deep shots a game is a lot different than getting four or five.
Right.
We'll see. I don't think that Tyreek Hill's in any danger of dropping
Kelsey's
and
not
targets.
At all either.
Kelsey's not in any danger of dropping any targets. CEH kind of coming around, got in the end zone last week. And we'll see what it does to the running back situation if some more screens get put out for wide receivers instead of running backs. So yeah, good on you for bringing that up. That was interesting. But let's get to this trade now. It's a great week to have you on, Morgan. Not only do you and I have a matchup, but you made the first trade.
The first trade of the season just happened. I mean, I was talking to you guys earlier, and I turned on my phone during lunch, saw there was a trade proposed, and I thought, fuck yeah. So I've been streaming tight ends all season. I've been playing Jared Cook and Bobby Tonyan, and I needed a tight end. Those two weren't cutting it. I had Leonard Fournette on my bench. Trade Lenny for Gronk.
And you traded with Matt Legg.
Matt Legg.
The defending champ who's notorious for holding his stuff pretty close to the chest.
Who I showed the league he does bleed. But
you think that was maybe part of it?
I don't know. My thing was I need a tight end help. I honestly didn't even think about it for 5 seconds. Literally, as I clicked accept, I was like, fuck, did I just screw my season up? But yeah, Lenny, I mean, he's a decent running back. He's good some weeks. Some weeks he's 4 points, like last week. Other weeks he'll get 12 to 15. But Gronk is a for sure tight end. It sets my lineup in stone now. I have my starters who I'm playing every week, barring injury.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with this trade. I feel like Matt made it in response to McCaffrey going down and not getting Chuba Hubbard off of waivers. It's a move for the future, 100%. You think about what Lenny did towards the playoff run last year. Once the weather gets colder, Brady, who we'll get to a little bit later, is not going to be throwing the ball 40 times for 400 yards every single week, especially when we get into December and January. So it's a good move going forward for both teams, I think.
Yeah, it helped both of our championship aspirations out.
Got rid of a headache for you, and I think that's the big thing that everybody should think about while trying to make trades. If you have a roster headache between two viable starters, like yours was Leonard Fournette and Kareem Hunt. Now, some people listening out there would say, well, that's Kareem Hunt every day. But in a couple of weeks, might not be the case. Now you don't have that headache.
Nope. And I don't have the headache of Tonyan and
exactly.
Jared
You've
Cook.
Alleviated it at another position. So that's really important. So now before we get to our ballers, our busts, and our bold predictions going forward, we'll take a quick break and hear from another show on the Chatter Network.
Hello and welcome to the Always Moving Podcast with Lyndon Savanto, a podcast about my life as an international athlete, writer, world traveler, and dreamer. Join me on my podcasting journey as I explore the world around me through life experiences, self-evaluation, and interviews with interesting guests ranging from professional athletes, comedians, engineers, and those who helped shape me to who I am today. Tune in to the Always Moving Podcast, part of the Chatter Network.
Okay, Max, hit us with somebody who really impressed you last week.
It's Josh Allen, Devontae Humpalot's quarterback. You know, he drafted him pretty high, and Josh Allen kind of underperformed the first 2 weeks, but looks like he might be rounding out to definitely be a top 10, maybe a top 5. He gets 37.2 points, no turnovers, 4 touchdowns, 358 yards, plus he ran for a 9-yard touchdown. So you love to see him get right. Of course, they're playing Washington in Buffalo, so the matchup was really good. But next, they've got Houston, KC, Tennessee. I think all those defensive, other than Houston, all those defenses have been underperforming this year. I like Josh Allen going forward, and he definitely balled out.
Baller. All right, so my baller, I got Devontae Adams. He's on the Catalina wine mixing team. He did not win the game, but Devontae Adams is just a fucking robot. 12 catches, 18 targets, 132 yards, and a touchdown. We saw when, what was it? They got the ball back with a minute 12 left or something. Rodgers drives down the field. He's not nervous at all. Both passes go to fucking Devontae.
Yeah. Everyone in the stadium knows it's happening.
Yeah,
too.
The Niners knew who it's going to. They couldn't stop him. Twice he catches it. They whatever. They throw the ball down, stop the clock, kick the field goal, all because of Devontae Adams. Everyone's giving Rodgers the credit for being calm, cool, collected. It was Devontae who saved that game.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the dub R1 in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
And he definitely, after a mediocre performance, less than mediocre, pretty poor performance week one, but the entire Packers team kind of shit the bed there week one. He's really bounced back. That whole offense looks pretty unstoppable. Yeah. You're getting your draft capital back for sure where you drafted those
Even though it's a loss for Camille, his team is going to rise back up with Devontae playing that fucking good.
So my baller of the week is the one, the only Tom Brady. The ageless wonder, yes. In our league, he clocks in at 30.68 fantasy points this week, throws for 432 passing yards. In our league, if you go over 400 yards as a quarterback, it's an extra point. So you get the added bonus there. He adds 14 rushing yards and a rushing TD to this performance. Now, you're not going to get this again from him. The 14 rush yards will probably be his season high. You know, Brady, I think, averages about like 50 yards rushing in his career, but he loves those stats. He keeps track of it. I think it was maybe last year or the year before where he went over 1,000 for his career. And on the play that he did it, he gave a big emphatic like spike of the ball or a first down gesture with his hand. So that was kind of fun to see once again there. And it all came against the Los Angeles Rams. And now I know it was in a loss. You know, the Buccaneers did not beat the Rams. But that was a tough defense. And I think any questions that you might have had for Brady going into the year have definitely been answered. He's QB1 in our league.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he is across the board. And when you just think about, like, the role of quarterback in fantasy this year, or in this day and age, really, where everyone says you have to have a quarterback that can get you those rushing yards, that can get 400, 500, 600, if you're Lamar Jackson, close to 1,000 rushing yards a season.
If not 1,000.
If not 1,000. Brady's just going to, I mean, Brady keeps plugging away, and it's insane. So big shout out to Tom Brady, balled out this week.
Tom. Why'd you spill your beans, Tommy?
Our bust now.
So my bust, and even, you know, he got banged up in the game, but he came in as wide receiver one, and it actually kind of goes to a bust for the whole offensive unit of the Seahawks in the second half of that Minnesota game. They don't score at all in the second half.
Seahawks are garbage.
And Tyler Lockett, you know, comes in and only gets four catches for 4 yards, or excuse me, 31 yards. 5.1 points. Again, he got beat up.
Yeah, so this is, we don't want to, you know, pile on him too hard.
Yeah. However, I will say him, DeAndre Hopkins, and A.J. Brown, all of them got hurt during their games. All of them, top five wide receivers, under 10 points.
Each bottom five.
Yeah. So kind of a tough break there for your number one wide receivers.
Yeah, and it's just a little scary. I mean, people who have owned Tyler Lockett in the past, I'm sure had a little bit of PTSD here. People who have owned any Seahawk player in the past probably had a little PTSD because a lot of, you know, the draft stock that went into some of these players, I feel like, was built upon their first half performance this season last year. And then they kind of fell apart, and Russell wasn't moving the ball as much. The Seahawks offense kind of fell apart. They went out and got a new offensive coordinator this year. So to see that happen again this early in the season had to be a bit worrisome.
Yeah, we know Shane Waldron can score in the first half.
Yeah. So, that's a good one. Injury aside, it's a pretty good one.
All right. My bust is just one man, Red.
League specific here, bud.
League specific, person specific. He was so good this year. He started out, what, 2-0?
Yeah.
Playing against Blaine, 0-2. And this is what I mean. It's league specific, but tell the people in your league, stay competitive. Check your fucking lineups. TJ Watt was listed as out Saturday morning at 8:12 a.m. Red, you had no 20 seconds to check your lineup between Saturday and Sunday morning? It's just disappointing. Other than that, my bust as DeAndre Hopkins, but yeah. Red.
Well, and especially if you do play in an IDP league, a lot of times those aren't the injuries that are as covered by, you know, different media outlets and things like that. TJ Watt, though, superstar, defensive player of the year.
I drafted him, I think, 10th round last year, yeah. Early for IDP, but that's because he's a beast.
Yeah, exactly. And so the news is definitely going to be out there on somebody like him. And in our league where you can pick up somebody else, I mean, Myles Garrett, if you're going to go that same route, had a monster day. So you think about he, you know, if he potentially picks him up, Garrett gets like 4.5 sacks, just goes off, winds up with 24 fantasy points. I was actually expecting to see maybe somebody go after him in waivers.
Yeah.
We'll see after listening to this if maybe somebody does.
Bobby.
My bust of the week is Damian Harris. So running back for the Patriots, coming off of two double-digit performances in week one and week two. And now they were just in half-point PPR, 12 points and 10 points. Might not sound like a lot, but for a New England running back to guarantee 10-plus points each week.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. And so the signs were there that Damian Harris was kind of going to be the guy no matter what game script. He had a fumble in week one. Belichick went back to him. But then in this game where the game script, I understand, goes totally against them, the New Orleans Saints defense just that, balls out.
That Nolan's D. I got lucky. I swooped them up, I think, week two.
Yeah, real good stuff there. Two return touchdowns against Mac Jones. But anyways, yeah, only 8 touches, total touches, for 11 yards. And if you're playing in PPR, he bails you out and manages to get 2.1 points, so you don't get like a total goose egg from him, basically. But in a game where he didn't get hurt, where he's still on the field, and game script just went against him, like, that was below a floor performance.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a seller performance, and you just can't have that happen, especially when I believe he's on Jordan Kefler's team in our league. He's depending on him as an RB2 or flex each week, and it doesn't look like things are going to get any easier. Tampa Bay's next on the schedule, one of the best run defenses in the league, and of course the whole narrative in that game is going to be about Brady playing the Patriots once again.
Yeah.
So tough sledding ahead for Damian Harris, I'm afraid, after a bust performance. Okay, so now some bold predictions. We get to look into the crystal ball a little bit, or we get to highlight some players that that performed well once they got a starting spot in someone's fantasy lineup.
Yeah, for me, it's Cordell Patterson. Again, going back to Devontae Hump a lot here. You know, he added him for $16, which is...
After week one, I believe.
Week one, yeah, after week one. Very cheap. You thought Mike Davis was going to be the guy there. You know, that's why they brought him in. But now Cordell Patterson has like become this weird fantasy enigma where, like, unfortunately, if he's on whatever team, he's gonna get in there and steal points away from your starting running back. He's just so versatile. He gets 7 carries for 20 yards, but it's his receiving. He got 6 receptions for 82 yards. Gets you 13.2 points, which is huge when you're playing, you know, less snaps than the starter. That was a bold move, swooping him up, plugging him in, starting him. Well done.
Well, and you look at that Atlanta offense, not a lot has gone right for them. People who drafted Calvin Ridley early aren't happy right now. People who took a chance on Kyle Pitts early aren't happy right now. Cordell Patterson is the one bright spot. Morgan, once again, I'm so happy you're on this pod because you and I, Cordarrelle Patterson, truthers.
He's 10 years too early. He's 10 years ahead of his time. He was a freak of nature coming out of Tennessee.
Yes.
6'4", 230, runs the ball, catches the ball, one of the
used
fastest
to be,
motherfuckers
kickoff,
on the field.
Yeah, kickoff return specialist there for a
he
long time.
He was Devin Hester with 40 pounds heavier.
Yes, and 4 inches taller.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great call. I'm really happy for Cordarrelle Patterson so far this year.
My bold prediction is the people going back to pick up their players that they dropped after week one, looking at Max, Cuba.
Yeah. You know, I drafted him because I was like, you know, if McCaffrey gets banged up in these first two games coming back, of course I end up dropping him. And now I'm back at the well. And somehow
and
I got
minus $56.
I thought that was cheap. Honestly, I spent $61 on McCaffrey's backup last year, I thought for sure Matt was going to empty the coin purse for him, but I literally threw that in because you texted the group.
Oh, yeah. Like, I just wanted to stir the pot. Yeah,
what you is said it at 50, didn't
yeah, you? What's it going to be, $50? And you know, I said, oh, at the least.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll throw in 56, try and bump whoever's trying to get him up. But yeah, no, happy to have him. I'm going to plug him in this week. Well, you know, that's four weeks of a number one starter.
Same with the commish going back and picking up Gesicki.
Yes, I saw that.
Dropped him, and then I think he spent like 15 or 5. I don't know. He spent something he didn't need to pick up Gesicki.
It is interesting. I did a little bit of that just for free, though.
Yeah.
And a little bit of it is like one man's trash is another man's treasure. Hunter Renfroe, Jacoby Myers, these are all guys that I really targeted in the draft.
Jacoby Myers.
Didn't get them, and then I was very happy to still see them available on waivers. I think that if you do play in a PPR league, especially second in Renfroe, third in Renfroe, if Hunter Renfroe is out there in your league, go get him if you play in PPR. He seems to be one of Derek Carr's like safety releases now, which is great. Defenses can't just key in on Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. And even though they're still going to, that leads to a lot of Renfroe's success, I believe. So, yeah, that's a good call. People going back after just 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and their guys. It's bold, but teams need to go back and do it. Trust your gut. You drafted that guy for a reason.
That's true.
Yeah.
My bold prediction going forward, and Mike Williams was started in our league, performed. I think that Mike Williams is going to potentially finish the year as a top 15 wide receiver. We joke about Cordarrelle Patterson having like the 10th year breakout. Mike Williams having the 5th year breakout.
Contract year breakout.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is.
And he's the Michael Thomas of that New Orleans offense there.
Right. That Joe Brady is running now. Yeah. So he's currently in our league, half point PPR, the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy. 22 catches on 31 targets so far this season, 4 touchdowns. In the last 2 seasons combined, he only had 7 touchdowns, so you know he's going to exceed that number. And I think that this guy's now a set it and forget it wide receiver, the way that Justin Herbert's playing, the way that teams are always going to roll coverage to Keenan Allen, especially when it's on, you know, third down. Herbert can, instead of just trying to move the chains, take that big shot. And that's what you really like to see out of Mike Williams right now, is the 22 catches, where it's not just one or two big plays.
It's not home run throws.
Those are a lot harder to predict in fantasy. This is consistent
action.
This consistent action, you can depend upon this performance week in and week out. So he got he was a steal in drafts. Getting him, I'm not sure where he was drafted in our league, but I'm sure his ADP was around the 7th-8th round most leagues, 9th maybe even. So if you got Mike Williams on your team, congratulations. You have a set it and forget it wide receiver, and you probably have 2 other good wide receivers as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we're going to do a little game preview action now.
So game of the week for me is going to be the Commissioners versus Weenin' It, Tim versus Nick. And right now they're sitting at 50-50 on the win probability. A really big week for both of these teams. And, you know, they're both 2-1. And Tim is also out of town. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have access to his phone. He's got his buddy, Tom Crichton. Also a member of the Chatter Network, or former member of the Chatter Network. He's running the team this week.
What was his record running his team last year? Anybody know?
Don't know.
I can't remember. But huge, huge week to be out of town, Tim. Huge week. I mean, and you're going up against Red, who you usually think is a
gimme.
A gimme. Not this year. Red's out for blood, and I'm sure Red wants to crush Tim.
Tim always talks some smack going up against Red too.
Yeah, and I think what you have to look at as far as the X factors, CEH is so important to Tim's team. Does he continue to do what he did last week, or does he go back to what I think he really is?
Well, same with Najee Harris. Pass happy Najee Harris catching 14 balls last week.
He's an animal.
Insane.
Yeah.
Of course, when Big Ben can't get him more than 5 yards down the field.
Don't get me started. We'll talk about Steelers off there.
Don't get me started.
But yeah, CEH going up against Philadelphia, who's got a good run defense, some great defensive linemen there. He's got Marvin Jones Jr. in the lineup this week. Going up against Cincinnati, who can be scrappy. They're in Thursday every single game. And it's a Thursday night game, so that's always dangerous. Josh Jacobs is back. Going up against the Chargers. Yeah, we're on injury watch with him. If he's not able to go, you know, you're probably going to have to turn. I don't know. Can you trust Marquise Brown to catch the ball? Emmanuel Sanders might be a really good pickup.
I like Emmanuel.
So that could work. But over on Red's side, then, you know, he's got Kenyon Drake, who, if Josh Jacobs doesn't go, taken immediate points away from Tim there. CD Lamb continues to be a touchdown hound. Really like him.
Yeah, taking
the top off.
Heartbreak last week.
Yeah.
Got tackled on like the half yard line there on that first Cowboy drive.
And if CEH can't get going and they can't run the ball, they're going to turn to Tyreek Hill, who is on Nick's team. Mm-hmm. So Nick just has. He has kind of the counter punches for Tim's team this week.
Nick needs to put his foot on the throat and go.
And I'm picking Nick. I've been picking Nick a lot this year. I'm going with him again here to go to 3-1.
Specialty positions, you know, I'm always going to focus on those spots. I think are going to go a long way in determining this matchup. I love what Tim's team has going for him right here, especially in comparison to Nick. TJ Watt's healthy. You play him. It's who you drafted. But the Pittsburgh defense going against that Green Bay offense.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty scary stuff right there. The Pittsburgh defense could be a fade this week. I know the Dolphins are out there in our league. They have a much easier matchup against the Colts and a banged-up Carson Wentz right now. Jason Myers might be the most reliable guy on the Seahawks offense right now.
Didn't he miss a PAT or extra point? Reliable is he? Well, he's equal on par.
He totally got the announcer jinx. They were talking about how he was like two or three kicks away from tying or breaking some record, and then of course he misses it. Don't tell me the announcer jinx isn't real. It is so real. So we'll see what Nick does there with his specialty positions, because I agree with you in the skill position spots. I think that Nick does have the counterpunch here. And you look at the two quarterbacks, mirror images of each other, Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, both going to get theirs on the ground. But who do you trust throwing the ball more? Kyler.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and also, I like the matchup against a division rival much better than going up against Denver, who has been stifling.
Number two defense in fantasy.
Yep.
One of the bright spots on my team.
The game I want to highlight, Scary Terry, Max's team. Versus Hot Chub Time Machine, the Kef.
3-0 versus 0-3.
Can I put him in the ground?
Can you bury him? I am honestly, I'm picking Kef. I like his squad, and he's a scrapper person. He's got Herbert finally starting. He started Hurts against me last week, and it hurt him. Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, I think, right now. He is asserting his dominance as a top 10 QB. They're just moving. We talked about Mike Williams. You got Keenan Allen. Jared Cook's getting targets in the end zone. You got Eckler to throw the little spot pass, screen pass, too.
There was a fire in Herbert's eyes this last week. I mean, going into Arrowhead and outplaying Mahomes, that was something that I kind of needed to see. I own him in another league, and I was so excited to see that, where he's not just like he kind of has this like boyish baby face.
Yeah.
And you're playing in LA, all this stuff kind of going for you. But then to see that fire where he's like, you know what, and they play in the same division, right?
Yeah.
He and Mahomes. So if he can outperform him, Mahomes has already won a regular season MVP.
I think he's 2-0 against Mahomes.
Who's to say that Herbert isn't an MVP candidate if the Chargers can take the AFC West away from the Chiefs?
Yeah. Kef's also got Nick Chubb, great running back. Dave Montgomery, another good one.
Chubb going up against that Minnesota defense that Chris Carson gashed pretty good this week.
I would be a little worried playing against Chubb too, because it was a big Kareem Hunt game last week, as you know, Morgan. Mm-hmm. Chubb got 84 yards and ended with 8.4 points in our league. And so that tells you right there was no receiving usage. Mm-hmm. So all just ground game, no touchdowns. So I look for Chubb to kind of bounce back.
Yep. And then he's running out with Cortland Sutton and DeAndre Hopkins, both number one wide receivers on their respective teams. DeAndre's looking to bounce back after an abysmal week.
Tennessee defense going against the Jets.
Yeah.
Probably the best play of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone going against the Jets.
As far as defenses go, if you can stream a team playing against the Jets, the Giants, any of those New York teams, the Lions potentially, I think those are kind of your streaming targets in fantasy this year.
And rounding out Kepler's team, he's got Noah Fant, who's good, decent. I mean, I'd say he's easily a top 12 tight end.
Oh, yeah.
And then Michael Pittman, who's the number one wide receiver for the Colts. It just depends if Carson Wentz can get him the ball on his two sprains.
Yeah, I do like that Damien Harris is on the bench. He's not willing to risk another bust performance from him either. Kev's always going to be paying attention there.
That game on Sunday Night Football, Buccaneers are going to hammer it to them.
I dare somebody out there to play a drinking game where you take a sip every time Brady's name gets mentioned or Super Bowl with the Patriots. Like, it is just going
on that Sunday Night Football note. Did you guys see the promo they put out with Adele's Hello?
No.
It would give the deaf goosebumps.
Oh my gosh. Max, I will say for your team, Cooper Kupp looking like one of the best values in drafts so far this year. If you drafted Cooper Kupp this year, congratulations. Chuba in the flex. We'll see how he performs. That New England defense going against the Buccaneers. You gonna stick with that?
Yes, I think Tom Brady's gonna have a tough time there.
Can we hold you to that
homecoming? Yeah.
Okay, no
I'm
switching.
Sticking with it. I'm Locked. Sticking with it.
Locked. Home game. It is in Foxborough, but man, you don't think he wants to come in there and light that place on fire?
I think he does, but I think that defensive unit wants to shut his ass down.
It's gonna be 48-13.
We'll see. Yeah, that one might come back to bite you.
Yeah,
this will be a good matchup. Tough to give a prediction here. It's going to be hard. It's hard to see you going 4-0. It's hard to see Jordan going 0-4. That's all I'll say.
That's what's crazier.
Yeah.
I think it's crazier to see Kefler going 0-4 than it is to see you go 4-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Kefler, that would be a dark day for Kefler if he goes 0-4.
Okay, so my matchup that I'm watching closely this week is Devonta Humpalot versus Dammit Bobby, Blaine versus Bobby here. Already kind of talked about how Blaine finds himself in a 1-2 spot, which he's not used to playing from the past couple of seasons. Bobby in that 2-1 hole coming off a victory against me, where I looked at his lineup last week. Now, if I would have played the right players off my bench, I could have stood a better chance. But I thought that I had a pretty decent shot at competing with Bobby. Bobby's just always going to get those points. And you don't really know where it's going to come from. 1 week could be DeAndre Swift going off. Mm. Another great value. If you have him on your team this year, congratulations. Could be Lockett. It looks like he's sticking with him, at least for right now. He's in the starting lineup. So he's expecting, you know, him to ride that roller coaster back up. But then Cole Beasley, just a PPR machine. Obviously, Kelsey's going to get his. Jamar Chase, another guy.
Can catch the ball.
Holy jeez, for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Every week. Big ones, too.
Joe Burrow's throwing at him. That chemistry they had going into college. Now we're talking about draft shit. But Joe Burrow is looking at Jamar Chase every play.
As soon as
he snaps the ball, first read, Jamar Chase.
Yep.
Yeah.
And T. Higgins doesn't look like he's going to play this week either.
It's only going to help.
It's a Thursday night game. So you're going to, on Thursday night games, offensive coordinators always try to simplify the game plans. You don't have as much time to prep. And so what's worked for him so far? Burrow to Chase. Yep. You're going to see a lot more of that. So I like that for Bobby's team. Teddy Bridgewater in its starter right now. You know, we'll see how that goes.
That's bold.
It is bold. He has no other quarterback on his roster right now. And the waiver wire, at least in our league, is pretty thin.
Is Derek Carr still out there?
We can check real quick. Kirk Cousins is the highest ranked one. So I believe
Had to swoop up.
Yeah, someone had to swoop up Carr. Mayfield's out there in a pretty decent matchup against the Vikings. But that's really it. I mean, Daniel Jones has been playing pretty decent. He's out there in a lot of leagues, including ours. But going against that New Orleans Saints defense, you don't like that at all. So we'll see what he does there at quarterback, because that'll really impact, you know, how his team performs. Because quarterback, you need 20 points. And Teddy against the Ravens, not sure if you're going to get it, really. On the other side, of course, Blaine Stroud now, Josh Allen. You love that. Cordarrelle Patterson has worked his way all the way up to RB2 for Blaine. Which is really nice. You basically have a flex wide receiver as your running back who's still going to get carries out of the backfield. But then in the flex position, putting Tim Patrick out there.
Ballsy.
Kind of a dart throw, I feel like. We'll see if it lands.
Trying to take points away from Bridgewater.
That's true.
Will either of them score points, though?
Yeah.
That's tough. Kittle always goes off against the Seahawks, so you like that matchup.
Decent
for him.
Find this year was Cooks for him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Brandon Cooks has been great.
I feel like the league and everybody forgot about Brandon Cooks. He was, what, borderline third-round pick a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
He's the only one in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Davis Mills even can get the ball to him. He's quarterback-proof and kind of has been his whole career. So give credit to where credit's due. Mm-hmm. Blaine for drafting him. Cooks for staying solid. So this is going to be a really interesting matchup. Projections have him at 122 to 121. Going to be looking forward to seeing what happens here in this matchup. And Morgan, you and I, should we talk about this?
I mean, we can.
We can talk about it real quick.
Break
it
down, new acquisitions.
Just real quick. Yeah, I have a lot of new acquisitions. I don't think that the lineup that I have in right now will be the lineup that you end up going against this week. Just because I don't know what's going to happen with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to play a guy coming off of a knee injury.
I hope he doesn't play. Chase Claypool.
Yeah, exactly. That helps your team. I kind of hope he doesn't either, because then it allows me to put out somebody like Jacoby Myers or Hunter Renfro.
I really like Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, one of these kind of shiny used toys that I have. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk will probably find his way back into my starting lineup too. It's been tough going for me to start the season. You know, I know I sound like a broken record, but without being able to play Ayuk, Gus Edwards going down, and then Deontay Johnson being injured, those are three in my first six rounds right there that I just haven't been able to use so far this year. So I'm looking to kind of work some guys back in, play with some new toys here. You have me in the projections by quite a bit, and I know you're on a two-game heater. But like I did last year, I'm going to give you a run for it.
I hope not. last year was quite the embarrassment with your only win being me.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for revenge. I really like my matchups with Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson. Those two, 1-2 punch, first two rounds.
A healthy OBJ.
Yep. Healthy.
OBJ looked good, too.
Yeah.
He dislocated his arm on his first hit, but he still played the rest of the game. I got a notification today, like, he was held out of practice, questionable, and it's like, fuck off, he came back.
Yeah. That'll be fun, too, because obviously playing against Minnesota now puts him against his former teammate, Pat Pete, up there in Minnesota, so that'll be really fun to watch that matchup. But yeah, I think that, you know, your trade, having Gronk in the lineup now.
Gronk going home.
Yeah, Gronk going home, Kareem Hunt solidified in your flex spot.
And the Nolans D.
Pretty in the New Orleans defense against the Giants, yeah. Pretty solid stuff there. And then, you know, talk about a baller of the week last week.
Justin Tucker
set the NFL record.
66 yards. And he missed a field goal of 31 or something early in the game, and I was thinking, motherfucker. But he comes back, kicks that 66-yarder. What is that, 6 points, 7 points?
It's still just 5 points. I think ESPN should look at their scoring, where if it's a six, because, you know, that's usually how it
yards,
goes. A 30-yarder, it's 3 points. 40-yarders, 4 points. 50-yarders, 5 points. But then anything above 50 is just five.
Well, NFL record setting should be just 10.
Yeah, 10. Give it 10. I've had
Game winner, too? Yeah. An extra point, maybe?
I have drafted Tucker, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row. I always draft him the second to last round before the kickers go in the last round. And if you're drafting a kicker before, then you're an idiot. But, yeah, draft Tucker the second to the last round. Sneak him up on everybody. He's solid.
Yep. So that'll be really fun to watch our matchup. Might have to phone you back in. Or if Tim's still out, bring you back on again next week to talk about it. But so, yes, since Tim is out this week, if you have any questions, if you're in the Homies League, you can direct them to me. I will be writing the power rankings.
Let's start the votes.
Send in the votes. Get rid of the IDP.
I will pass everything but that. But no, I'm excited to write the LMN this week. The other league that Max, you and I play in, I've had a lot of fun doing a league manager's note and some power rankings there. Trust me, you guys are going to get more than just one sentence about your team this year.
Shots fired.
I always go.
What a drive-by.
That's not even a drive-by. I always like going in, really breaking it down, points for, points against, acquisitional plays, things of that nature.
And you can put the commissioner in his accurate spot.
You will be ranked accurately, all 12 teams in our league, including myself. Toughest critic on myself. But we hope you guys enjoyed listening. If you're out there, and you don't play in our league, please share us with your friends. We try to appeal to as many people as possible. So keep doing what you're doing. We've actually seen our downloads shoot up pretty high.
Absolutely.
Our people in Washington, Virginia.
Hello.
Came
Shout
through
out.
Last week, man. Tons of downloads.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll show you this off air. You're going to love this. But for now, this is Hey Football Head signing off. I'm Spicoli.
Max Fosford.
Morgan Chen. See ya.